This is LA's home for the Dodgers.
Somehow makes the play.
And you're listening to Off-Season Dodger Talk.
He bobbles it, falls face first, somehow picks it up, throws behind his back with his face in the dirt, throw to first base, makes the play.
Call 866-987-2570 and talk to your host, David Massé.
Reflecting on his life and his legacy and how it continues to endure and how we all have to continue to work to make that dream come true every single day where people get to equality, not just by their skin color or income demographic. Hopefully everybody one day will be treated equally. And obviously that's what Martin Luther King Jr. was all about. So happy MLK Day. We have a great show for you tonight. We are going to get into the Hall of Fame debate. Yes, it seems like every year, Major League Baseball, the writers, the media, picks one guy that they really want to push, bang the drum for a player. And this year it seems to be Larry Walker. And I don't know why. We'll get more into it. 866-987-2570. Also coming up later in the show, there is new developments in the Nolan Arenado Colorado Rockies lovers quarrel. Nolan coming out with his first comments of the offseason surrounding the trade rumors. Same with the Rockies GM, who has come out and defiantly said that they are not trading Nolan Arenado before the season starts. So I'll let you know what Arenado's response to that was. Also, you'll hear from two of Jackie Robinson's children, Sharon and David Robinson. A couple of years ago, I had a chance to interview both of those important people, and they described the relationship between their father and Martin Luther King Jr., and they actually shared pretty interesting details about what went on as far as their relationship and how they met Martin Luther King Jr. quite often. So we'll share that with you as well. But first, I want to recap what took place over the weekend. Now, we have Dodger Fan Fest coming up this Saturday at Dodger Stadium. It begins at 10 a.m., 10 to 4. You'll hear it right here on AM570 LA Sports. If you want tickets, free tickets to Dodger Fan Fest, just go to Dodgers.com/FanFest, and there are great experiences that you can purchase as well. Selfies with players, autograph with players, meet and greet with players, a tour from Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser and Fernando Valenzuela through the press box. So a lot of great things if you go to Dodgers.com/FanFest. And a lot of teams are starting to do their fan fest to rally their fan bases for the season, including those stinking cheating Houston Astros, who had their fan fest, and a couple of their players faced the music to a certain extent by speaking to the media about the punishment that Major League Baseball came down with last week, the findings of baseball's investigation into their stinking sign stealing scandal of 2017 and 2018 probably, and I'm sure 2019, but baseball only found evidence and focused on 2017. And you would think if you were really innocent, one of these guys would come out and defiantly say, absolutely not, we never did that. This is all us. We earned all of that. None of that technology stuff benefited me throughout that season. You would think they would be really, really upset of all the talk, all the accusations, all the findings by baseball, but they weren't. Now, I want you to hear from two of the two guys that really showed off and really had a lot of swag in the dugout after they did something good at the plate during that season and still do to this day. Jose Altuve, who won the 2017 American League MVP. I wonder how he did that. He was asked about everything that has come out in baseball's investigation.
This kind of situation make you stronger for the future. And, you know, we know the kind of person we are. We know we have to go through this. I know my teammates. That's why, you know, I don't look too sad. I'm not crying right now because I know my teammates. I know what they have inside, and like I said, we're going to move forward.
How difficult is it?
This kind of situation make you...
What does it make you, Jose? Does it make you find another way to cheat this upcoming season? What do you believe in your teammates? Do you believe that you all did it together? Is that why you're so confident in your teammates? How about Alex Bregman? Here's a guy that almost beat out Mike Trout for the MVP this year. Here's a guy that was on fire and really shows off in the dugout with tremendous arrogance in that Astros dugout after home runs, after big hits. And he was more annoying than I've ever heard another player under these type of circumstances in his response to questions by reporters in Houston over the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the commissioner came out with a report, MLB did their report, and the Astros did what they did. They made their decision on what they're going to do. And I know that's about
time. Alex, how do you feel about that there are those who want to say this taints or damages what you guys did in 2017?
Like I said, the commissioner made his report, made his decision. The Astros made their decision, and no further comment.
Alex, is it difficult to be about 3 weeks from spring training and not have a manager?
I'm excited to go to spring training. Our team is going to get after it. We're ready to go down to spring training and play.
So there he is, Alex Bregman. And after every question regarding baseball's investigation and the evidence that they found that the Houston Astros cheated by using a center field camera and banging trash cans to help their hitters know what was coming in each and every at-bat in their home ballpark, he responded with the classic prepared statement that baseball has done their investigation and I have no comment. If you were really innocent, wouldn't you have comment? Wouldn't you want to come out and defend yourself, defend your teammates? It just basically is an admission of guilt in my eyes by his response. And basically is very telling that, yeah, these guys did it. And I don't even know if they have any remorse over it. And that's why I'm a firm believer that Major League Baseball came up short in their punishment against the Houston Astros. I fully agree with suspending A.J. Hinch. I actually believe Jeff Luhnow should be suspended for life, considering not only this scandal, but others involving his front office. And you look at them allowing the Houston Astros to still be called the 2017 World Series champions. And I've said this over and over again throughout this whole thing, that Dodger players believe they don't deserve the World Series championship. But they do believe, and I wholeheartedly agree with those certain players, that the Houston Astros should have had to vacate that World Series championship. And I've heard some people say that you can't erase what's happened, you can't erase the stats. No, you don't erase the stats. You just don't allow them to be called 2017 World Series champions. There wasn't one. Whatever the stats were of that World Series, that's fine. We all know they cheated, but they shouldn't have that trophy in their front office, and those players shouldn't have those rings. Now, I don't know what they could have done regarding their World Series shares, but maybe you fine every player from that 2017 Houston Astros team the amount that they received in their World Series winning shares. How about that? You just come up with those fines of that number. And then you have suspicious tweets going around now over the weekend. I got sent this, and John Boy, the guy that is out in New York, the blogger, he has a Twitter account. John Boy, he's been circulating these. He was the guy that actually put together a great video of all the Houston Astro highlights banging trash cans against the Yankees in 2017 and also, more specifically, the Dodgers in 2017. He is circulating these tweets where it's an exchange between a fan and just a guy named Jonathan12345. Now, I'm sure you've heard of burner accounts for players. Some people believe this may be Justin Verlander's burner account because it's very suspicious in the way this Jonathan12345 is responding to tweets regarding the Houston Astros cheating by stealing signs, because Justin Verlander tries to portray himself holier than thou and basically the police officer for everything he feels is wrong with the game, including baseballs. So it's interesting that we have not heard one peep out of Justin Verlander, except for this Jonathan 12345 that some people believe may be Justin Verlander's burner account. Everyone commenting on this needs to understand that one guy cannot stop an entire cheating system, especially when he arrived after it started. New team and teammates, he's supposed to speak up to those guys? That's one of the tweets from Jonathan 12345. And if you remember, Justin Verlander joined the Astros in August. So then there's another response to a tweet from Jonathan 12345. Justin earned that ring by pitching his heart out in the regular and postseason. He obviously hates that the hitters did what they did, but that doesn't take away from everything that Justin put into that title run. Does that sound like just a regular guy, or does that sound like a burner account trying to defend himself by not using his own real Twitter account, which, by the way, Justin Verlander has? So basically, Alex Bregman, Jose Altuve, and now Justin Verlander, in my opinion, all spineless. You can't even take accountability. You don't want to defend yourself. You guys, guilty as charged. 866-987-2570. When we come back, we'll get into the Hall of Fame debate, and we'll take your phone calls until 8 o'clock right here on Dodger Talk on AM570 LA Sports. David Vassay, Dodger Talk with you tonight until 8 o'clock on this great Martin Luther King Jr. Day in the City of Angels. 866-987-2570. Hope to see you out at Dodger Fan Fest this Saturday. You can get your free tickets, your admission tickets, at Dodgers.com/FanFest. 866-987-2570. And today, leading up to FanFest, the Dodgers kicked off their week-long Dodgers Love LA community tour. My guys, Dennis Powell and Kenny Landro, out at the Oroville Wright Middle School today, painting and helping the kids out there today. So it kicked off with those guys today. Tomorrow, Fernando Valenzuela, that's right, El Toro, will visit the Metro bus drivers, some of whom drive you from the Dodger Stadium Express route to Dodger Stadium before each and every game. Later in the week, Justin Turner is going to make a surprise visit to a decorated World War II combat veteran in the L.A. area. On Thursday, a whole host of players, including A.J. Pollock, Austin Barnes, Matt Beatty, and Dustin May, will be teaming up with Habitat for Humanity of Greater Los Angeles to build playhouses for underserved children. So that should be fun. And on Friday, the Dodger players will surprise, well, I shouldn't even say this, but they got something going on out there in Santa Clarita. I don't want to spoil the surprise. And they're going to be participating to say thank you to all those that were responding to the emergency calls from Saugus High School during the November tragedy. So the Dodgers all week long will be out in the community, and it's part of the annual Dodgers Love LA community tour, and it culminates with Dodger Fan Fest on Saturday at Dodger Stadium. And by the way, I'm sure there's some tickets available if you want to try to golf with Justin Turner and some of his teammates. He's hosting his fifth annual Justin Turner Golf Classic, and if you want information to sign up, go to justinturnerfoundation.com. 866-987-2570. Before we get into my irritation, my yearly irritation with the media, baseball media specifically, about who they're campaigning for that doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, let's go out to the phones. Let's start out in Gardena. Manuel, kick us off on this MLK Day.
Oh, DV, hey, first off, happy Martin Luther King Day to you. The PMS boys shared that Don Newcomb interview. It was awesome. I always love hearing about how him and Jackie Robinson were inspirational to Dr. Martin Luther King. But, yeah, man, you brought up some stuff with these Houston asterisks, man. It's just seething, man. You know, every time I see that stupid look on Bregman's face or Altuve and that idiotic little smile and his baby-like comments, I'm just infuriated, man. They're just a bunch of cheaters. Their legacy will be tarnished as it should be. Like you said, vacating a title is not going to give it to some other team. It's just going to make it a point that they can't celebrate, you know, 25th anniversary of it and so on and so forth. But you know what? Manfred's spineless. He's Jellyfish Rob from now on.
Yeah.
So whatever, man.
What's he doing? Is he doing anything? I mean, he's not. Doesn't seem to be really addressing the real problem here about trying to not allow this to happen again. It's one thing to investigate and prove that they were doing something wrong and suspend a couple of people, but really, what's he doing to police this better? And what was he doing better to police it?
Absolutely.
That's why he
nothing,
gets paid.
Man.
We always talk about player salaries, but let's talk about Rob Manfred and the millions of dollars he's making, yet his sport is basically in disarray right now over cheating.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. But, you know, he works for the owner, so he's going to wield that paper mache hammer and act like he's doing something when in reality, like you say, he's not doing anything for the future. Go Dodgers. Love the show as always, DV.
Thanks, Manny. Let's go out to Culver City. Kevin, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Kevin.
Really appreciate your opening monologue. You know, you look at Altuve and Bregman, they just have the look of guilt on their faces. Like you said, if they weren't guilty, they come out with a Barry Bonds style defiance, you know, like in his press conference.
Well, he's guilty too.
You know, you don't get that. And, you know, looking back at it, you know, when you look at the whole series, Clayton Kershaw, you know, he mentioned he should have been more like Alex Wood. You know how Clayton is. I mean, game day, he's just kind of warped up in his thoughts, and one thing would just set off his whole preparation. So, you know, I could see him really not trying to hear that stuff. But what really blows me is just the fact that, you know, this team basically was able to do this and just get away with it. And, you know, they should have that championship vacated from them because, like you said, it does nothing for the Astros. They still get to say they're champions. And, you know, it really just validates what I see as a fraudulent season that they had. And if you look at their stats, their on-base percentage that year, home runs, they led the league in everything. And it was clearly because of that. And if there was nothing wrong with this, then why did three managers get fired? That's what Rob Manfred used to look at. If there was nothing wrong, why did all those guys get fired? So if there was a crime that he stated with the evidence when he fired those guys, why doesn't he vacate the championship? Or give us the Houston Astros first-round draft picks for the next four seasons. You got to do something, because if you're firing three managers, you're calling a foul. And baseball, all the major sports, football, basketball, relies on history. And all the historians are going to look at this as a black eye on baseball. And until Manfred confronts this, this is going to be a black eye on baseball that he was complicit with and he was complying with. And this is Los Angeles. We're the biggest fan base in baseball. We're not going to let them forget it. And when they come out to Dodger Stadium, I guarantee you, either if we turn our backs to Altuve when he comes to bat, we're going to have something to let them know what they did. Because this is Los Angeles. It's a big market, and we're not going to let
show up in Anaheim. So, when the Dodgers are on the road and the Astros are in Anaheim playing the Angels, Dodger fans should go to that game and really let them hear it. And I know Dodger fans travel. And trust me, that would be an interesting sight if Dodger fans showed up to an Angel game. I saw something where Dodger fans were trying to organize to go to Houston. You don't have to go to Houston. You can just drive to Anaheim. You don't have to go all the way to Houston. They play the Angels 19 times during the season, half of those in Anaheim. So if you're a Dodger fan and when the Dodgers are on the road, you want to let the Astros know how they cheated their way to a World Series championship, just head down the 5, and it's very easy. All right, thanks for the phone call, Kevin. Appreciate it. 866-987-2570. And I've heard parallels. I mentioned this the other night. Certain people in the city trying to draw parallels between Reggie Bush and USC having to vacate their national championship and his Heisman compared to this. It's apples and oranges. Reggie Bush did nothing to cheat the integrity of the football games that he played in. he was just a victim of stupid, archaic NCAA rules that forbid these student athletes from taking anything that is gifted to them, even though NCAA is making millions off of their likeness and their talent. So Reggie Bush did nothing to cheat on the field. All his issues were violations off the field. With the Houston Astros, they were messing with the integrity of the games that they played in, including the biggest one, the World Series. Now, I'm not going to say the Dodgers would have won that World Series because they did lose two games at home. But who's to say the Astros did not devise some sort of cheating system to get those signs at Dodger Stadium as well? So, you know what? They were proven to be cheaters, so they can't be trusted anywhere, any place. 866-987-2570. Coming up in our next segment, you'll hear from Sharon and David Robinson discussing the connection between their father and Martin Luther King Jr. But before we get to that, you know, the Hall of Fame selection is happening again in the next couple of days. Derek Jeter should be a unanimous Hall of Famer. If he's not, somebody's vote should be taken away. But I always find it interesting. Now, keep in mind, none of these players that are on the Hall of Fame ballot have played a single game since they retired. But yet every year there seems to be some mantle taken for a specific player that baseball writers believe has been wronged over the years. And this year, Larry Walker is that guy. Yeah, Larry Walker from the Rockies, whose batting average was 80 points higher away from Coors Field. A guy that benefited from playing at Coors Field, certain baseball writers are saying he has been wronged by not getting into the Hall of Fame. To name a few that deserve to be in the Hall of Fame before Larry Walker, Gary Sheffield, Jeff Kent, and Fred McGriff, more deserving than Larry Walker, but I guess they were not deemed the golden child of this year's Hall of Fame wrong ballot. And I'm seeing more Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens votes on the Hall of Fame tracker online. If Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens are getting more votes and one day do get into the Hall of Fame, how can Mark McGwire not be on the ballot anymore because he did not get enough votes? Now, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens were two of the best, if not the best, at what they did in their generation. But we all know about the performance-enhancing drug cloud around those guys. So I don't have a problem with them getting in. I'm one of those guys that doesn't really have a problem with that happening. But you can't pick and choose who you believe should be in the Hall of Fame and who you're going to try to vilify. Mark McGwire should be in the Hall of Fame if those two guys are getting votes and get close to that 75% ballot. In fact, I think all three should. Sammy Sosa, I guess so, but he wasn't very good before he started taking performance-enhancing drugs. Now, how can I say that? You're right. I can't pinpoint when he started, but the facts are when he was traded from the White Sox to the Cubs, he wasn't very good with the White Sox and became very good with the Chicago Cubs. So he hit 660-something home runs. I guess he should be in the Hall of Fame as well. So should Pete Rose for that fact. So that's my problem. I don't have a problem with whoever anybody wants to vote, but why is it every year there seems to be one guy everybody tries to bang the drum for? And this year it's Larry Walker. Larry Walker was a really good player. He's not a Hall of Famer, I'm sorry, because he did not perform away from Coors Field the way he did at Coors Field. In fact, he shouldn't have won the MVP the year he did. Mike Piazza should have won that MVP, considering he did everything offensively, plus he played the most demanding position in the sport. And I know people want to take shots at his defense, but he was really good at handling a staff, and his pitchers always said that. So people like Larry Walker. He's a nice guy, and that's why he probably got the votes he did to win the MVP that year, and that's probably why so many writers are banging the drum for him, because he was nice to them. But Gary Sheffield and Jeff Kent are more of a Hall of Famer than Larry Walker ever will be. Same with Fred McGriff. Those three guys, if you want to bang a drum for somebody, bang the drum for those three guys. 866-987-2570. When we come back, you'll hear from Sharon and David Robinson. Plus, I will give you the latest in the Nolan Arenado drama that has been going on this offseason. Stay where you are. More Dodger Talk with David Vasse next on AM570 LA Sports. Welcome back to Dodger Talk. David Vasse with you until 8 o'clock tonight. 866-987-2570. We only have one other show this week, and that is Thursday night. And we will be on from 7 to 7:30 before we hand things over to UCLA basketball. So a light week of Dodger talk, but a busy week for the Dodgers as they kicked off their Dodgers Love LA community tour this week leading up to FanFest. And we will be on the main stage at FanFest on Saturday at 10 a.m. And you can hear all the goings-on right here on AM 570 LA Sports. So don't miss that at 10 a.m. right here on Dodgers Radio. And you can catch me tomorrow night on Sportsnet LA at 7 o'clock with the debonair John Hartung. Yeah, so we'll check in with Sportsnet LA tomorrow night. And last night I had a good Sunday. You know, you talk about how was your weekend. I had a great weekend, especially last night. Don McLean's 50th birthday party. And it was close to my house. He lives out in the Conejo Valley, so it was a short Uber ride for me and the missus. And, yeah, we took an Uber, had a few cocktails, didn't want to, you know, drink and drive. So we knew it was going to be a good party. And, yeah, sorry, I didn't know about Camus. I'm not one of these Richie Rich guys that know about Camus, okay? I'm not a wine drinker. I drink Coors Light usually and Pacifico. I don't drink Camus like Petros up on the hill. I know about Camus. I've never seen it in person, and I've never tasted it, and I'm not ashamed to say it. And by the way, here's a story from last night. A great party, by the way, put on by Don's wife, Brooke McLean, and it was so good that before dinner was served, they had a sushi bar. You go up to the sushi guy, he makes what you want, and Petro sniffed that out right away. As soon as I got to the party, he said, "Hey, brother, you want to go to the sushi bar, like get something for the girls?" I said, "All right, let's do it. Let's get our wives some sushi." So we go over under the guise of getting our wives sushi. But as soon as we got back to the table, Petro started putting his paws on everybody's sushi. So, you know, he said, "Let's do it for the wives." But Petros was eating more sushi than the wives were. But it was a great time. I love Don McLean. Happy 50th birthday to him, and it was awesome. And by the way, I met a baseball guy that went to high school with Don McLean, Tim Laker, who's now the Seattle Mariners hitting coach. And, man, those fish should be registered. I shook his hand. Would not want to mess with that guy. So it was cool meeting Tim Laker at Don McLean's birthday party. Anyway, good night last night. Want to give Don a shout-out and appreciate him inviting me and my wife. We had a great time. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Temple City. Jeff, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Dave. First of all, Stan Kasten has to make that trade for Mookie Betts and David Price. Second of all,
what if the Red Sox don't want to make that trade right now?
They don't?
No, they don't.
Okay. Second of all, Dave, the only way you're going to get to the Astros is through the pocketbook. And if I was the commissioner, I would sit there and have them forfeit their first 25 or three homestand games, forfeit them. You'll hit them in the pocketbook. You're going to hit them in the box office, concessions, souvenirs, and put them behind probably to or they'll have to catch up big time to try to win the division.
But he's not going to do that because you don't want to cripple one of your franchises. And don't forget, Jeff, he works for the owners, so he's not going to do that.
I understand that, Dave, but he crippled the Dodgers. I mean, seriously, these people are still laughing down in Houston. And I don't want the trophy. I mean, I don't think any Dodgers want a trophy back. I mean, that's what they should do is just go ahead and say, we're going to go vacate that trophy
right
for 2017. But nobody wants it here. But like you said earlier in your broadcast, they're still laughing down there, Dave.
They sure are, because really they got their money, they got their ring, and they're really – so what? You think those players care about their manager? being suspended for a year, none of them are taking any accountability. So you're right, Jeff, they are laughing. And Alex Bregman had that smug smirk on his face when he was dodging those questions at Astros Fan Fest. Let's go out to Tony in Santa Clarita. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Tony.
Hey, David, isn't sign-stealing the way the game is played in the Caribbean, and that's why they don't value offensive statistics from the Caribbean until the player goes to the minors and see what he could really do? And that's why the pitchers are more valued from the Caribbean, because they have to deal with a sign-stealing hitter. And both teams are doing it. And in the Caribbean, they have bands in the stands, and the band, the musicians, are giving the hitter the signal because they could see the catcher, and they're signaling the hitter with their instruments. That's how they do it over there.
Yeah, and that's not the major leagues. So I
know,
mean,
and that's why they don't value those statistics until they prove it in the minor leagues.
That's fair. That's fair. But, you know, if you heard Sean Green talk about it last week, Tony, he said he has no problem with sign stealing, but it should be between the lines. It's one thing when it's players at second base stealing it, but when you have technology, buzzers, and cameras from center field and trash cans being banged, come on, that's not something any player wants.
There's a guy on MLB Network, he said that he knew it when it was going on, but his view was until they say it's illegal, it's not illegal until they say so. I'm going to find his name and I'll let you know.
All right, sounds good. Let's go out to Bell Gardens. Fernando, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Fernando.
Hi, David. I say, long-time listener, first-time caller. Me and my pops been listening to you for a long time. And I wanted to say, is it possible that our U.S. Congress could take this to the U.S.
I think they got big. I know where you're going, Fernando. I think they got bigger issues right now to deal with than the Astros sign stealing. And I don't think it should not go that high. Baseball should be able to police themselves. That's why you have a commissioner making over $20 million in an annual salary, and it's up to him to do it.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks for clearing things out for me. And I want to say happy birthday to my mom, by any chance.
All right, what's her name?
Sergio Hurtado.
All right, there you go, Fernando. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it, and give her my best. Happy birthday to her. All right. Let's go out to Santa Clarita. Kevin, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how are you? Nice talking with you. I want to talk about the All-Stars. I'm tired of all the other stuff, but the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I disagree with you in the fact that Larry Walker, you don't feel, should make it into the Hall of Fame.
No, I don't.
I absolutely believe he should go. I mean, look at his record. He's a 5-time All-Star, MVP of the National League, 7-time Golden Glove Award winner, 3-time Silver Slugger, 3-time Major League Batting Champion, National League home run leader in, 1997?
He won the batting title 3 times by playing at Coors Field.
Yeah, but come on. You can't take that
too
much consideration. The other thing, too, is he only played for 3 teams. And to me, when something like that happens, that means that the teams value that player a lot because they hang on to him as long as they possibly can.
He was a really good player, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
I think he, out of the players that they've chosen so far, I think he definitely deserves to go into the Hall of Fame.
How many home runs did he hit?
I also agree with you that Sheffield should go in, and Kemp. They both had fantastic careers, but they still have time to get in it, and this is the last year for Larry Walker. So I believe wholeheartedly that it's his time. It's his time to make it into the Hall of Fame.
Kevin, full disclosure here. Are you from Canada? Is that why you love Larry Walker?
No, I'm a born and raised LA Dodger fan and Angel fan.
But all right.
Larry Walker's a good friend of mine.
You're friends. There you go. Now
here,
I know.
I'm a limo driver, and I drive him occasionally.
Oh, now here we go. See, exactly. He's a great guy. That's why everybody wants him in.
Well, isn't Derek Jeter the same thing? He's a great guy.
He's a great player.
Well,
he's a Hall of Famer.
So is Larry Walker.
Hey, next time you drive Larry Walker, let him know he shouldn't have won the MVP in 97. That should have gone to Mike Piazza.
You know what? Mike Piazza, I love him too. He was a big Dodger fan and Mets, but, you know, we can't blame him for that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being honest, Kevin. Thank you. If I need a driver, one day will you pitch for me to be in the Radio Hall of Fame?
I'll keep listening to you, and then when you have gone through your full scale of time, I'll think about it.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. By the way, in 1997, on top of catching 152 games for the Dodgers, Mike Piazza hit 40 home runs, drove in 124 runs, and his OPS plus led all of baseball that year, 185. So if you love these advanced metrics, Mike Piazza deserved it in 97 for the mere fact that he did all of that offensively while leading the Dodgers to a playoff berth and catching 152 games. So I just believe a lot of the awards, like the MVP and now people trying to bang the drum for Larry Walker to get into the Hall of Fame, is based on personal reasons because he's a great guy. And you have to take into account that he did a lot of his offensive damage at Coors Field. Every year that he won the batting title, he was playing at Coors Field. Every year that he hit 30 or more home runs, he played at Coors Field. So come on, that's a big part of the story. Let's go out to Chula Vista. Miles, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. What's up, Miles?
Hi, how you doing?
Great. I appreciate – don't you appreciate Kevin and Santa Clarita coming clean and saying that he likes Larry Walker and their friends, and that's why he wants him to be in the Hall of Fame? I hope you can be that transparent in your call, Miles.
Yes. Well, I have a question. You know, before my question, I have a statement. I really wanted to know what happened to that trade many years ago.
Which one? When Fred Claire traded Pedro Martinez for Delino DeShields, you want to talk about that one?
No. Orlando, the pitcher from the New York Yankees, the left-hander that throws like 100 miles per hour.
Aroldis Chapman?
Correct. Okay. That trade was made, but for one reason or the Dodgers found out that Orlando Chapman had some domestic problems.
Right.
And then they say, you know what, we don't want this guy anymore.
That's right.
I honestly believe if they would have kept him back in 2016, maybe 2017, they would have beaten the Cubs because the Cubs actually grabbed Chapman, and that's how the Cubs won the World Series. But if the Dodgers would have kept that guy as a reliever, as a hands-down reliever, you know, just they would have won.
He was great.
2016 and 17.
Why are you bringing that up now? What does that have to do with anything we're talking about tonight, Miles?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. I just heard you on the radio, and
a lot. Goodbye, Miles. I mean, come on. You're bringing up Aroldis Chapman, and you're endorsing in the middle of a domestic violence scandal where a gun was involved. You wanted the Dodgers to pull the trigger on a trade for Aroldis Chapman? Come on. No, that was the right call by the Dodgers, and some things are bigger than baseball. And look, he obviously has not made that same mistake twice because he's still pitching and hasn't been suspended, but at the time that was very difficult for the Dodgers to bring in Aroldis Chapman. Plus, if they bring in Chapman, you still have Kenley Jansen in his prime. How is he going to feel that you're bringing in another guy to be the closer? I don't know if chemistry would have worked out in that circumstance. 866-987-2570. I guess that's another lesson in calling a radio show. You might want to listen to what the discussion's about before you just chime in to hear yourself talk. Ah, wow. I'm glad it's the off season. We could get these wrinkles out and these teaching lessons out of the way in the off season. All right, you know, it is Martin Luther King Jr., Dane. He taught us all quite a bit, and we're all still learning, trust me, in this country. And I had a chance to catch up with Jackie Robinson's kids, Sharon and David Robinson, at Dodger Stadium a couple of years ago. And they shared with me the connection that his father had with Martin Luther King Jr. And here's what they said about some of the details of their father's relationship with Dr. King.
It had profound effect on us, and actually we met Dr. King. He came to our home in 1963. We had a jazz concert to raise money for him. So that was after we saw him at the March on Washington. So we understand that we have work to do, and we're out there working hard. I started off as a nurse and a midwife and working in women's health care and changing women's rights, and have moved into work with children with the Breaking Barriers program with Major League Baseball. So I feel like, you know, I'm still, and we're both on the board of directors of the Jackie Robinson Foundation.
David, Sharon just mentioned Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. being hosted at your home to try to raise funds for him. Do you remember that? And you guys obviously have a great perspective on history since you lived it.
Well, Dr. Martin Luther King was there. We had for more than 20 years jazz concerts on our home to raise money for various causes. But Jackie Robinson was an activist before the activist era, before the civil rights movement. And he vanguarded, but brought in that era of the 60s, which we're talking about now, which was very an era when we had a greater focus in terms of national development, racial development, American social development. I think that focus on activism is needed today, and I believe it's being awakened in the American population today to be more and more concerned, and to know that we ourselves are going to be the ones that are going to have to change and make things better. And the only way to do that is get on the front lines of some movement.
There they were, Sharon and David Robinson at Dodger Stadium a couple of years ago on Jackie Robinson Day. So very, very blessed and privileged to be able to have the opportunity to talk to those two people. And obviously Jackie Robinson and Martin Luther King Jr. Had a substantial strides, a substantial impact on the civil rights in this country. And you heard Don Newcomb with Petros and Money a few years back, and they played it again today, that, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. acknowledged several times that Jackie Robinson, Roy Campanella, and Don Newcomb made his job a lot easier to really make the next step towards civil rights equality in this country and everything that he was fighting for. So a great day to reflect on all that, where our country has come as far as all that, and how far we still have to go. 866-987-2570. Now, I mentioned that there is new developments in the Nolan Arenado trade rumors saga, and it certainly is getting to a boiling point right now, because the Rockies GM, Jeff Bridich, came out to the Denver Post today and said that they are not going to trade Nolan Arenado before spring training. He is going to be a member of the Rockies when they report to Scottsdale, Arizona. And Nolan Arenado was contacted by the Denver Post for a response, and he told them flat out, quote, "I've been disrespected," but he would not say or elaborate what he meant by disrespected. Arenado told the Denver Post, quote, "I really don't care what's being said. I just know that I feel disrespected over there." So there is a push comes to shove moment here after Arenado signed that 8-year, $260 million deal last February. You have to remember the climate of the time that Arenado signed that extension. Free agency was not booming the way it is this winter. So I know Nolan was concerned that he was not going to be able to maximize his value on the open market because of the way things were going down with Harper and Machado and other free agents last offseason. Now that's changed, but who could have seen that coming? And I think it goes back to what players say. You got to bet on yourself. And Nolan Arenado is in a different stratosphere than any of these other free agents outside of Rendon and Gerrit Cole. So I still believe he would have got at least $260 million. The only way he could find a way to Los Angeles is, A, waiting for his opt-out, which is in a couple of seasons, or B, telling the Rockies, "I'm not waiving my no-trade clause for any other team outside of the Dodgers." Similar to what Giancarlo Stanton did, where he only had two or three teams he was willing to be traded to because he had the same type of deal. So This is going to be interesting. And from what I understand from people close to Arenado, the Dodgers are one of just three teams that he would accept a trade to. Now, I know who the other two teams are, but I'm not going to tell you. It is possible that he would accept a trade to the St. Louis Cardinals because that's the team that had been in connection with the Rockies the last couple of weeks. So he would waive his no trade to the Cardinals, from what I understand. There's one other team that I'm not going to share outside the Dodgers and Cardinals. But if Nolan Arenado wants to play for the Dodgers, he can basically hold the Rockies hostage by letting them know, I'm not waiving my no trade clause for any other team than the Dodgers. Make a deal with the Dodgers or you're going to have an unhappy player. Now, knowing Nolan Arenado the way I know him and so many others know him, the way he plays the game, he's not going to dog it. He's not going to tank it to force a trade, but he's not going to be Mr. Sunshine when he shows up in spring training, I'll tell you that. So he just wants to win. He thought the Rockies were going to make a better bid at trying to win. And by the way, the Rockies this offseason are one of only two teams to not spend a single dollar in free agency. How about that? That'll do it for Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks to Ronnie Fascio for all his help back at the studio. Thanks to you for listening and participating. In case you missed the show and want to podcast it, you can do so at am570lasports.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @TheReal_DV and on Instagram at @OfficiallyVasse. We'll talk to you Thursday night. Have a great night. See ya.